Harvey, you said you feel like you've lost a beat. Sometimes I wish you would. Because you hold it out so long, I just get lost. I don't know. I can't hold it out as long as you do. I think if you lost a beat, you might be able to do better, you know? Just ease up. Harvey's going to be holding that note, and Jesus is going to want to come back, but he's got to wait till Harvey finally finishes. So he'll just keep singing as he goes up to glory, so. Well, tonight we're going to round out our study. We've been looking at billboard beliefs. I don't know how good it's been. It's been just thoughts that have come from my head, so that, of course, is a mixed bag. But we'll round it out with, we're going to be in 1 John, if you want to turn there. The Bible, the biblical belief, or the billboard belief we're going to look at is this. It says, I don't need to know what you think about the Bible. I need to know what the Bible thinks about me. There are so many people who are happy to tell you what they believe the Bible says. Some take it out of context. Some try their best to keep it in context. But it's a mixed bag. And so I want to look not at what you have to say about the Bible necessarily, but what does the Bible say about me? How does it instruct my heart? Is this the authority? Even more than my preacher, even more than the televangelist, even more than the commentaries, am I coming to the Word of God and letting it decide who I am and what I should be about? And so we're going to look at 1 John together. And I love John because if you remember, John was literally a bosom buddy of Jesus's. Remember, he was the one lying on Jesus's chest at the Last Supper. He was the one who was the one whom Jesus loved. He was, of course, part of the disciples, which was already an exclusive group of 12 men who for 3 years would follow Jesus day in and day out and minister alongside of him and according to his instructions. But he even was more special than the 12 because John was a part of the triumvirate, which was him, James, and Peter, who would come out of the 12 and be an even more elite group. They would go with Jesus to places the other disciples would not go. If, for example, the Transfiguration. He was only one of three people who saw Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Olives. And so John is a special, special person. And John gets to see things that we never will have seen. And John was an eyewitness to the things of Jesus. And that's why he opens 1 John 1 by saying, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Notice what he's saying. I've been there. I've touched Jesus. I've seen Jesus. I've heard Jesus. I have been with Jesus. He said this life in verse 2 was made manifest to me. And we have seen it, and so we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So Jesus was with the Father before time even began. In all of eternity, he dwelt with the Heavenly Father. And yet in that moment, in those brief 33 years, he came to earth and he imparted himself to John, especially Peter and James, the other disciples, and those disciples that were added to their mix. And so John was on the front row. He had a first-class ticket to be able to see who Jesus was and what he was about. And so when we hear what John has to say in these few chapters, we have to give it special notice and say, hey, he says that he was there, that he saw, that he heard, that he touched the word of life. And so what he has to tell me is of great import. And so we want to listen very carefully to what he has to say, that he was from the beginning. So he knew Jesus. Now, knowledge was very important to John. John, in just these few chapters, is going to use that word know 32 times. Over and over and over again, he says it is important to know Jesus. And we know that when he would say that word, it wasn't just a head knowledge of who Jesus was. He didn't just go to Sunday school and hear the stories. As I've already said, he was front row and center. He saw all that Jesus was. And so often he'll say, by this we know that we have come to know Jesus. By this we may know that we are in him. Verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. You know the Father. You know Him who is from the beginning, you sons. And on and on and on he goes about knowing who Jesus is. And so if you want to be able to distinguish between what people say about the Bible and what the Bible says about you, you have to know Jesus. Amen? He is the Word of God, and so He helps us to interpret what can be very mystical sayings sometimes. He helps us to see the truth of these words. And so John says, you have to know that you know that you know Him. And if you can do that, then you will be able to discern truth from error. And that's what we're about, guys. In this day and age, with all the paparazzi and all the propaganda, all the YouTube videos, people, I mean, you see videos and you never know if it's true, right? They do these tricks and you're not sure what to make of it. But we need to be able to discern truth from the lie. When I was coming up in college, we would play a game. And y'all tell me if you've ever played Two Truths and a Lie. Do y'all remember that game? Okay, good. I love being with older folks. They don't know anything about what's happening in my world. If I raise my hand for Sunday school, they'd be like, oh yeah, let me tell you mine. That's right. Some young kid's going to come. I don't know what he's talking about. But we would play Two Truths and a Lie. So basically, you would tell three facts about yourself, okay? And two of them would be truth, and one would be a lie, and you try to mix it up so they wouldn't quite understand. So for me, example, I would say, my name is Jeremy, fact one. I have four kids, fact two. And then I would say something that, you know, you would not believe about me, like I used to not sing, okay? So those would be the three, and you'd have to guess what they were. Lee's is best. I love when Lee plays this game. She always wins because nobody believes her truth. She'll tell you, my name is Lee. I want four kids. That's the truth. Not a fact, not a reality, not going to happen, but she's going to want four kids. There you go. So good luck with that. But her truth, it sounds like a lie. She'll tell you that she was interrogated by the FBI. Can you believe that? Nobody buys it. Sweet little old Lee. When at that time, she was called Chandra Lee. That was her name. And they say, no way, Chandra Lee interrogated by the FBI. But she was, y'all. You'll have to ask her about that. There was drug money involved. It was very interesting. So, and that's not a lie either, I promise. There was drug money involved. So when you see her, make sure to ask her about that. So we have to be able to discern truth from a lie with so many lies all over the place. I have three little liars, man. They are so experienced. They know exactly how to lie to me. I know how to lie to myself, to lie to my wife. We all are adept at lying. And so we have to be able to discern the truth from the lie. And so that's where John camps out in chapter 4. Go ahead and turn there if you would. And so, as I said, he's knowledgeable about who Jesus is. He knows what the truth is because he has walked with him. He has talked with him. He has been able, because of his relationship with Jesus, to be able to decide what is real and what is false. And so in chapter 4, he warns his flock, his church, that they should be.
be wise as serpents, to be innocent as doves, to be discerning, and not to fall for the falsehoods that are so prevalent in our age. Help us, Lord, to seek after you in all things, to weigh them against the word, to not jump rashly into decisions, but to ask for your instruction and guidance. We ask in Jesus' name.
Let's stand together. The best way to discern is to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh.